Forces spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari.
According to our intelligence, Hamas checked the reports, understood it was an Islamic Jihad rocket that had misfired, and decided to launch a global media campaign to hide what really happened.
President Biden is now on the way to Israel, where he'll meet with Israeli leaders there today. He was scheduled to talk with Arab leaders in Jordan, but that summit's been canceled because of the attack on the hospital. Former President Trump spent yesterday inside a courtroom in New York, where he and his company are being sued by the state's attorney general on civil fraud charges. More on that from CBS's Graham Cates.
He's experiencing what we've been experiencing, which is seeing these exchanges of emails, little cells on spreadsheets where the Attorney General is trying to document in very granular detail how numbers change over time in order to support their case of fraud.
Trump and his company are accused of deceiving banks, insurers, and others by massively overvaluing assets and inflating Trump's net worth on his financial statements. 3,700 workers at Detroit's three casinos walked off the job yesterday. CBS News Detroit reporter Gino Vici says the strike is about two things.
They say they made lots of concessions through the COVID-19 pandemic, particularly in terms of pay. They say a lot of them were laid off for a very long time, and they simply want to be made whole again with salary, but most importantly, with health care.
Are GM's self-driving vehicles a threat to pedestrians? Here's WWJ radio reporter Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
GM's Cruise Automated Driving Division is currently operating self-driving vehicles mostly in San Francisco. There have been four reports of pedestrian injuries and other near misses. Cruise says its automated vehicles have a better safety rating than those driven by humans.
Rolls-Royce is laying off up to 2,500 employees worldwide. The maker of jet engines was hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic, which drastically reduced the number of people flying. In 2020, the company cut 9,000 jobs. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
You're all set with your Medicare prescriptions, Mrs. Brown.
This is not just low-cost copays at Walgreens.
I can actually help you set up 90-day refills if you want.
This is having a partner you can trust. Get low-cost copays, 90-day refills, and delivery from your neighborhood Walgreens. This is being independent, together. Walgreens.
Restrictions apply. For details, see walgreens.com/pharmacy.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 39 overnight under cloudy skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 61. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 45. Cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 48.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
On our website, go to civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Well, where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to hour two of As Goes Wisconsin. Greg Bach on the board, Dominic Salvia. From Devil's Advocates, some people say it's the greatest show radio show ever.
Some people say it.
Some people say. Tom is my co-host on Tuesdays while Kristen is out on maternity leave. Thank you so much, Tom, for making time for us. And speaking of the new mom, she will be joining us tomorrow morning at 10:30. The world got their look last week, Dominic, of baby Frances. And she's
so cute.
Oh, she is adorable. Have you met her yet?
I haven't met her yet, no.
Greg, you're going to meet her tomorrow.
I'm going to meet her tomorrow. Yeah.
Yay. So Kristen will be here with us tomorrow at 10:30. I hope you will join us for that. We were talking to Dan Schaefer, recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, about his latest article in the recombobulation area about the Brewers deal that has been offered. And we did get a couple texts that I wanted to address before we move on. John from the Falls says, we have an owner who's unwilling to commit to paying to keep our players here and bring in better ones. We are in the smallest market in baseball, and this is a sport where there's no salary cap, making competition impossible. As fans, we're being milked for every penny they can get on concessions and parking. We can't even watch this team play on cable without special subscriptions. We paid taxes to get the stadium built for 20 years, and the owner's giving nothing back to us. I've always loved the Brewers, but at this point, I'm done. He's the billionaire. Let him pay for it or let him go.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of sentiment like that out there.
I think so, too. And then from the 262, come on, now come up here. Thank you. From the 262, it says, Paul Farrow and the Waukesha GOP just want one simple thing. All of the conveniences of Milwaukee County being close by without any financial commitment.
Don't we all? You know what I mean?
Whatever they can do to not have to spend their money.
Right. And then finally, listener Wes from Middleton checking in, listening to WMDX in Madison. To say that Waukesha County, at the very least, doesn't benefit from the Brewers is asinine. How many people stay in hotels, go out to eat in Brookfield and Delafield after a game? It's crazy that Milwaukee has to carry all of the tax burden. There needs to be a five-county solution. And again, I think Dan addressed a lot of that in his article, which is excellent. I highly encourage you to read it. What's the rush? What's the rush? Well, I think they just want to prove they can actually do something.
They've made it all of a sudden a thing. Like,
we got to get this done.
And I was going to mention too, during the last segment, this would not have happened had everyone just gotten on board with Governor Evers' plan, just to set a little money aside from the surplus, put it in an account, let it pay over time, we'll do our thing. But the Republicans had to explode that. Blow it up.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet saying the roles are reversed in what's expected from the sides. The Republicans are giving this way out of like left field, another pun, plan that like just explodes everything as far as spending. And then the Democrats come in with a very fiscally responsible deal. And it's the shoe's on the wrong foot on this one, too. So. I mean, it's well been fine. Just taking the original deal.
And I think, you know, the ownership group, you know, has to be aware. You know, certainly there's a premium to be paid. You know, fans don't want to lose their team, you know, so there's more incentive for folks to get behind some sort of deal, any sort of deal to try to keep the team. But I think that can be overplayed as well. I mean, if you, again, Jane, as you mentioned, you know, the guys are living the lifestyle, but they can't, you know, kick in more than Herb Cole and the ownership of the Bucks on a, who'd had a smaller deal. You know, I think it's right. We have a measure of success. We had something that recently was very successful. And granted, the density in the population at, you know, downtown is different than out in it at the field, but it can change. There's development around there. Menominee Valley's been developed. There's lots of commercial around there. There could be additional residential as well, as yep. we've seen build up around the Deer District. So I hope, and I don't know where we're at right now, because if this thing passes, the legislature today here in the state of Wisconsin gets to Governor Zephyr's desk, you know, is he going to veto something? You know, what does he do at that point versus waiting to try to get a better deal, but just signing something to get a deal?
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah.
and whether or not Governor Evers will just accept it and sign off on it. So we'll have to wait and see with that. I do want to talk about this because I have very strong feelings about this, and I think many other people do as well. But just as a reminder, at 2 a.m. on Sunday, November 5th, we fall back an hour. It's the end Ugh. Of daylight saving time. Now, the U.S. Senate unanimously approved the Sunshine Protection Act in 2022, introduced by Senator Marco Rubio.
Oh, the thirsty one.
The thirsty one. The Sunshine Protection Act would permanently extend daylight saving time for the entire year, but it has not yet been signed into law by President Biden because it has not been passed by the U.S. House of Representatives. I think that's a terrible idea. I don't want daylight saving time all the time. No. Bad. No.
So you are against this act?
I am against the Sunshine Protection Act, yes.
Oh, wow.
I think we should do away with daylight saving time completely and just be on the clock. That's the normal clock.
Whose clock? Whose clock, Jane?
I mean, right now, under daylight savings time, if I'm understanding, I always get these things confused. The daylight savings time is like, what, 8 months? Something like along those lines, right?
Well, it's it ends in November, and then it kicks back in, March.
In March. Okay, so that's the majority of the time we are under the daylight savings clock,
yes.
for example.
Yes.
And then so you'd prefer to stay under that clock? You want to be on the other clock?
I want to be on the other clock, the normal
clock. You
want
to be on the other clock?
Yeah.
The normal clock, but the normal clock is not normal. It's abnormal because we spend more time under the daylight savings clock. Here's my thing. Just one way or the other. Let's just pick one and not bounce back and forth. You know what I mean? And I could get used to, you know, an extra more light in the morning or more light in the afternoon, whatever. I just don't like bouncing around.
Well, it's the change that it slaps you, yeah. right? It just is like, oh, geez, you know, on November 6th, it's going to be dark at 4:30. And, you know, then
but that's what you want.
Well, but my whole contention is if we don't have daylight saving time, that is just the normal progression of sundown, and it won't be so dramatic if we stay on the regular clock all year round.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be
the
such
regular
a...
regular is relative, Jane. This is what I'm saying. We are used to living under the daylight savings clock. You know what I mean? The majority of the time, the majority of the year, that is our environment. So if you're going to say that's normal, quote unquote, I would think the daylight savings time that we are in right now that ends next month, that's our normal.
No,
you know what I mean?
But no, it's manufactured. And,
well, it's
and,
all manufactured.
Well, time is a construct. Okay, fine. But I think that's why it is so dramatic. If we just went with the normal progression of sunrise, sunset, and didn't try to pretend that we're giving ourselves another hour because it's the same amount of time, people. As one of my former colleagues used to say, you're cutting off the top of the blanket and sewing it onto the bottom of the blanket. The blanket is still as long as the blanket always was.
I have never heard that 19th century logic in my life. Back when I was a kid.
You never had you never touched a blanket?
I've touched a blanket, but I've never heard that metaphor used to describe it. In my day, we had a blanket.
Back in the day.
And we used to cut the top off and put it in the butt because that's what Grandma told us to do. Where did she learn it from? I don't know. Probably the farmers.
This has nothing to do with farmers.
No, it has nothing to do with farmers.
It has nothing to do with
farmers. Do you want to hear a little history on it?
Yes, let's have a little history.
Here's a little history.
Courtesy of John Oliver, right?
If you're like most Americans, you've been groggy all day after losing an hour of sleep to daylight saving. And as you struggle to remember how to change the clock on your f***ing microwave, you may have wondered, why is this happening? For years, conventional wisdom has been that it benefits one particular group.
I know it started because of farmers, I'm almost sure of that.
But that's not actually true.
It gives them extra time to plant, extra time to harvest.
It has nothing to do with farmers.
I remember years ago hearing that it was for the farm people.
The farm people want nothing to do with this, as they themselves will tell you.
I know really no farmer that I'm aware of that benefits from you know, actually farm activities and daylight saving time.
Of course daylight saving doesn't benefit farmers. Cows don't care what time it is because they're cows, and cows are idiots. So if it's not for them, who is it for? The modern daylight saving was introduced during the First World War as a fuel-saving measure by the Germans. That's right. You lost an hour of sleep this morning thanks to Kaiser Wilhelm.
That's John Oliver from the Last Week Tonight with a little explanation of daylight saving time and the origins of. What do you think about it? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Good morning, Cindy from Appleton. What do you think about DST?
Well, I'm with you. Let's turn it back in November and then just leave it there.
Right.
This is the dumbest thing they've ever come up with. I don't understand it. And, I mean, there are states that don't do it at all, so that must really be confusing. I don't know how they figure that one out. But anyhow, the point is, leave it as one and just leave it there permanently because it makes no sense. It does nothing. And really, time, if you think about it, is irrelevant anyway. So what's the point?
It's a construct,
time
Cindy.
Time is a construct, Cindy. Thank you so much for calling, Cindy.
All right, we're on the radio, man. We got clocks, man. These things do come...
My only thing about your method, Jane, is the fact that we would then have shorter days in summer, and I like a nice long summer day where it's like 9 o'clock and it's still there's some light out. I don't know. That's me. That's just me.
And you're not alone. And I think that there are a lot of bar owners who also love the long, you know, lighter, longer. I'm sure. Any place that has, you know, volleyball venues and things like that. But I understand the desire for it, but I think it's unnatural and I think it's unhealthy.
We fall back and we get an extra hour of bar time. I mean, who doesn't love that? But here's the other thing, you know, and thankfully my kids are grown now, but damn, you know, trying to get kids on that schedule, that's tough. That's tough. You think it's bad for adults? Try the kids.
Yep. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Do not hang up. If you're on the line, you can call, you can text. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's 48 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.5.
As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Dominic Salvia, my Tuesday co-host, while Kristen is out on maternity leave. And we would always love to hear from you. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. We're talking about daylight saving time next month coming to an end on November 5th. So we will gain an hour of sleep, but we fall back. You have to turn your clock back an hour. And we are wrestling with the question of whether or not we should keep daylight saving time or not. Lisa from Madison is on the line. Good morning, Lisa. What do you think about daylight saving time?
Oh, I think they should get rid of it. I think it's awful. I would just love to be on one time throughout the year.
Right? I just think it's...
Which time, Lisa? Which time?
The normal time, Dominic. Not the altered.
What does normal mean?
Not the altered time. Go ahead, Lisa.
Yes, exactly what James said. Not the alternate time.
Yeah, it's where... Again, we're pretending like we're making things longer, and we're not. We're just getting another hour of daylight because of this little trick. And I think it's really disruptive, and I think it's unhealthy. And, Dom, even before we went to the break, you mentioned when your kids were little how difficult it was for them to adjust to this.
Yeah, I think it's the change more than anything. You know, I'm messing with you here a little bit about how much time we spend under one clock versus the other clock, right? Kids don't care. I think as long as there's a set clock, I think to Lisa's point, let's stop doing that one way or the other. I'm down. I'll let somebody else decide that. Let's just stop with the jerking back and forth.
Pick one. You just think we should pick one. Thank you so much for the call, Lisa. Really appreciate
thank
it. 844-967-2789 texter who listens on the WAUK from the 715. I agree with Jane. I would love for the clock to stop changing. Safety is a big concern with permanent daylight saving time. Yes, the evening light is wonderful, but this means sunrise around 8 a.m. or later for most of the winter. So our kids will be standing at the bus stop and walking to school in the dark, posing big safety concerns for our kids.
I did it when I was a kid and it was fine. I survived.
Right. And did you walk backwards up the hill in 4 feet of snow?
In the snow both ways.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's how we did it.
Another texter says, would you rather have sunrise after 4 a.m. in June? Our best plan for Wisconsin is to move to the Eastern time zone. And did you know that a few counties in the UP bordering Wisconsin are also Central time?
I remember that. 844-967-2789. Your thoughts on daylight savings time. What clock should we use? The Eastern time. That's throwing a whole nother wrinkle into
right?
it. You know, because
how do you make a blanket metaphor out of that one?
I need a little more time.
For me personally, though, I mean, now that I'm getting older, you know, I don't sleep in as much, so I like it later, earlier. You know what I mean? It helps me get up, helps me get going. It's really tough to get out of bed when it's dark so long.
Yeah, yeah. 844-967-2789. We have Jim from Madison joining us. Good morning, Jim. What do you think about daylight saving time? What time should we live under?
Well, I think we should live under where you got more time at night because I'm a date night person. But the one thing you guys keep talking about safety, if you look at OSHA recordables, the 2 weeks to 2 to 3 weeks after, this is in manufacturing, after the time change where you lose an hour, OSHA recordables go up anywhere from 10 to 20% where people get hurt because of this in their normal jobs. So did a little bit of trivia fact there. But I would recommend just staying on what we are right now and never go back.
Never go back to daylight saving time, Jim? Or stay on daylight saving time?
Well, stay on daylight saving time.
Okay.
I want the sun at 9 o'clock at night.
Okay. So. You want it lighter, longer?
Yeah, lighter, longer.
All right. Appreciate it, Jim. Thank you so much.
Well, that's the thing. It's not lighter, longer. You know, the clock, the amount of light's always the same. Not always the same, but as the day and the night shifts and the earth spins, I mean, if you believe in that kind of thing and the tilt and all that, we have those things don't change. Now, our clocks, you know, that's what changes. And I wonder, and that's a great point with the OSHA in injuries. I wonder what it's like on the other side. You know, we talked about when you jump back, but what about when you go forward? Is it also a thing?
And
the change is the thing.
It is the change. And I think Dominic, they have shown that traffic accidents go up. There are other things that go up when we switch to DST.
Yep, that's true. Yep.
And we've got time for one more text from the 262. I looked it up. If we keep standard time, the sun will rise at 4:13 in Milwaukee on June 22nd, 2024. Hard pass on this, Jane.
Ooh. I mean, I just, yeah. You want to hear a funny thing? Call it confession, if you will.
Sure.
I don't know if we're on or off it right now. I never know. I just know that we fall back and spring forward. But if you ask me, like, are we on daylight savings time right now? I'd be like, I have a 50-50 shot at getting it right. And I'm guessing every time because I never know.
You really don't know.
I don't know. I do not know.
We are on daylight saving time right
now. That's what I don't get. If we're on it right now, it seems like that's the change. Why is that the longest part? You know, we're on daylight savings time for the majority of the year, over 50% of the year, right? 60, 70% of the year, we're on daylight savings time. That seems to be the norm, although it wasn't that way always, Jane. You want to go back to the old days when you could cut the top off a blanket and sew it on the bottom.
I'm being mocked
and sell it for $72 million.
They're mocking me for blanket usage. I'm not even quite sure what to do with that. All right, we're gonna move on from this because I'm tired of being attacked. We'll be right back after the break. We have the bottom of the hour news coming up. I hope you will stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous, because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 39 overnight under cloudy skies, south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, chance for scattered showers, high temperatures reach up to 61. Chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 45, cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 48.
Wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you. Come on.
As goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Greg Bach on the board, Dominic Salvia, my Tuesday co-host while Kristen is out on maternity leave. Thank you for joining us. 11:33, Women's Convention is coming to Milwaukee, and it's happening this weekend. And we are joined right now by the executive director, Rachel O'Leary Carmona, to learn all about what's going to be happening and how you can attend. Good morning, Rachel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell me, first and foremost, what is the purpose of the Women's Convention?
First and foremost, the purpose of the Women's Convention is to get women to build our community and our power so that we can win the things that we need to win that impact our communities. And before I even go any further, I'm going to say I'm from Milwaukee. Really happy to be bringing it back home this year.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you do not live in Milwaukee now?
I do not live in Milwaukee now. I'm in Texas, by way of New York. I've had a long and winding road, but I'm a Milwaukee Public Schools graduate and a Badger. Actually went to Madison Area Technical College as well. So I've been all through Wisconsin. You know, I bleed Wisconsin. So I'm really happy to be back home.
That's wonderful. Well, what can people expect? What can people expect if they attend this convention this weekend in Milwaukee? And it's happening, by the way, it's now called the Baird Convention Center, but it's pretty much the Wisconsin Center. They've done a little renaming thing. But yeah, so that's where it's going to be held, right, Rachel?
That is right. On both accounts.
Yes. So
it's County Stadium to me.
Right, yeah. Right. I know. All the naming changes. So what will attendees find when they get there this weekend?
I mean, the thing about the Women's Convention is that there's something for everybody, and there are going to be sessions about, you know, things that impact different communities. For example, we're doing one on network organizing. There's going to be one on, you know, working in a specific communities and working with the, you know, inside of the LGBTQ space. There's 52 different sessions for people to get in where they fit in. And so what we're trying to do is really capture the breadth and depth of our communities. We all know that we don't come, you know, to the feminist movement with the same leading issues. Some of us are saying, I'm very concerned about racial justice. Some of us are saying, I'm very concerned about, you know, trans protections and trans inclusions given the attack. And some of us are saying, you know, hey, it's like abortion and reproductive rights are an issue. And there's going to be something, you know, on all of those pieces so that folks can really dig into the issues that they care about, meet other like-minded people who care about those issues too, and then build the community and be able to make a plan to move forward for how we get what we need and win our rights back.
So do you need to sign up for these sessions in advance?
You can sign up for the sessions in advance, although I think you can make that decision if you get there as well. The place to be able to get tickets and get all the information about all of the sessions and all of the speakers is at thewomensconvention.com with a V in front of it, thewomensconvention.com. And womensmarch.com will also take you there. So with an extra click or two, you know. And so you can get all the information about everything inside of the convention. But, you know, what I really want to say is that, you know, the sessions are great. The presenters are going to be great. And that's going to be an amazing piece. But really, our power is our people. And so, you know, getting people together, bringing your friends, coming to meet new people, to me, that is where, you know, that is really the opportunity that we have here. So I want us to be able to scale up, but I also want us to be the biggest and best we possible, both in Wisconsin and across the country, you know, as we move into fights that are critically important for women all across the country, and certainly in Wisconsin.
Rachel, is this a nonpartisan event? I was actually at the Women's March, and that was quite an event down in Washington, D.C. after the former guy won in 2016. And that thing, that march ended and people were still starting. I mean, the streets were full. And obviously, yeah, a very, very partisan bent to that. A lot of people expected former mm-hmm. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to win. What about the mm-hmm. Here in Milwaukee at the Baird Center? How do you address the politics of all this?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first march happened before there was even an organization. And so when a bunch of volunteers get together, you don't have to worry about things like, you know, partisan or nonpartisan and C3 compliance, et cetera. And so, yeah, that march is very different from the things that we do today. This convention is nonpartisan. So what we are trying to do is build women's power. We're not talking about sides of the aisle here. You know, what we have seen, certainly since Roe was gutted and the Dobbs decision was made by the Supreme Court, is that we've seen a number of bipartisan ballot measures that have demonstrated that on the issue of women's rights, on the issue of reproductive freedom, on the issue of abortion, that there is heavy bipartisan support. A supermajority of Americans believe that this was the wrong way. And that's not the only issue on which folks from both sides of the aisle agree. So we are creating a space where we can build that power and move forward. And we're not saying that we're neutral on issues of women's rights. We are not. But if you can get in where you fit in because you believe that, you know, women should have bodily autonomy and we should be able to earn the same amount of money for the same amount of work that men do because you believe that racial justice, the color of your skin should not impact the way that you are able to get employment or stay safe in your community. If you, you know, believe that everybody should be able to love who you love, there's a place for you at this convention.
Rachel O'Leary-Carmona is the executive director of the Women's Convention, which is going to be in Milwaukee this coming weekend at the Baird Center, formerly known as the Wisconsin Center. I think you make such an interesting point, Rachel, about areas where both sides can agree. And certainly, as you said, we have seen this with women's bodily autonomy. And I would also think that a lot of women can come together in agreement on the issue of gun safety.
Yes, as children are, you know, now the leading cause of death amongst children is gun violence. And so I think that, you know, sometimes I get on interviews and people imply or outright say like, oh, well, you know, your organization is radical. And I'm not sure when it became radical to say, oh, so we want, you know, good jobs, a house, you know, a roof over our heads. We want to be able to ensure that there's food to eat, clean water to drink, clean air to breathe, and we want to make sure that that's the same for our kids. I'm not sure when that became radical. That's not the America that I want to live in, although it is the America, you know, that we are sitting in. You know, that we cannot ignore the rise of hate crime. Certainly in Wisconsin's backyard, there was just a very vicious hate crime in Chicago, where a young child was stabbed to death by a landlord, and in a fit of Islamophobia. And so I think that we need to really address the different and myriad issues that our communities are facing, that at the end of the day, you know, you want a better place for your kids. You want to be able to have health care if your tooth hurts. You want to go to the dentist and be able to get it fixed. And, you know, when you work a fair hour, you should expect a fair wage. You know, you're like with no regards to whether you were a woman when you worked that or not, you know. So I think that what we're talking about has become very radical in discourse, on social media, in media. But if you talk to regular, everyday people, these are not radical ideas. And there are things that people on both sides of the aisle want and need.
Yeah, definitely. Again, it sounds like some pretty basic stuff. Decent housing, reasonable medical care, water that's not poisonous, air we can actually breathe. You're a crazy woman, Rachel. Mm-hmm. Into the woo.
Yeah.
Is there,
up to my reputation.
Is there any part of this that has a political component at the convention as far as just encouraging women to run or encouraging women to get more directly involved in politics?
Everything that is on the breakouts can be found at the womenskonvention.org. I mean, I think that it's you know, as it pertains to getting women in community and power, you know, there is something inherently political about that. One of our goals is to build political power. But that does not necessarily mean that it is partisan or, you know, political in the way that we would frame it, you know, as it pertains to compliance and things like that.
Sure,
so
sure.
I think that everything that we're doing here is political. The personal is political, as the old saying goes. So I think that what we're really talking about right now is getting the community together and aligned on the issues that matter to us so that we can move forward and use the power that we build in all of the ways that we need it. And it's not just, you know, the realm of politics is not limited to elections. And in fact, that has been a misstep that a lot of people, you know, have made. So I think that what we're saying is, you know, power, we've seen power be built in issues of like mutual aid and communities, in places where people come together and maybe even build a community garden or a free library, or, you know, there are ways in which our communities need to come together and be strong and build with each other that expand beyond the scope of electoral politics. So you will see all of that. The womenskonvention.com has all of our schedule, all of our everything, so everyone can dig in there much better than I could. There's 52 sessions. I'm hesitant to say because I'm like, if I name five, then the other people are going to be like, oh,
you never mentioned us. Right? Now, the one that's happening in Milwaukee this weekend is not the first women. I mean, you're holding these across the country, are you not?
We had one last year in Houston, and previously we had one in Detroit in 2017. And of course, the very first women's convention was in the 70s in Houston. So we stand on the shoulders of giants, you know, and people who have laid the groundwork for us over the course of decades and for our own organization over the course of years, as we step in now and make sure that we kind of have a funnel. Like, women's march is known. Anyone who's been to a women's march, you know, we're big. You know, there's tens of thousands of people in the street. Usually for most people, they're like, it's the biggest demonstration I've ever been to, you know, and now we also have to be deep. How do we build the skills and the community in order to go out, bring new people into our movement and become as big as we need, reach as many people as we need in as different and disparate places as they are so that we can build the biggest and best we possible so that we can win for all of us. So that's really what we have, you know, in front of us right now. So, you know, we're not ambitious.
We just want to change the world for the better and for all of us.
We just want to change the whole world.
Rachel O'Leary Carmona with the Women's Convention coming here to Milwaukee, October 20 and 22nd. You can find them online at thewomenskonvention.com. Rachel, you know, I look back over the course of my young life, and certainly women's rights have come a long way from the 60s and 70s to where we are today. Seems like we're sliding back a little bit. That's my own personal opinion. What do you think are the biggest headwinds to, you know, achieving this equality that everyone seeks so desperately?
I think that part of the issue is that figuring out how we get together and share space is a big challenge. I think that social media feels like a proxy, and it is not. You know, it's not enough. It's a big tool, but it's not enough. And so I think the headwinds that we have in front of us are we need to build, you know, the biggest issue, of course, the elephant sitting in the room is that there's a rise of authoritarianism and fascism all across the world, not just in the United States, but in the world. We have seen our judiciary be compromised. We have seen our elections be challenged, voter suppression, gerrymandering. Wisconsin, I believe, has a grade of F from the Voter Fairness Project for gerrymandering. There's a district in Wisconsin that looks like a T-Rex. I don't know if you've seen it. It's up north. So it's like, it's got arms like a T-Rex. It's got legs, like it's got a body. And so, I mean, obviously we're dealing with that bigger challenge. And then inside to prepare for our challenge, we have to get our people all together. And it's hard because when you're assembling a big tent, you've got a lot of disparate, different communities in there who, you know, don't always have agreement and see eye to eye. And so we really need to strengthen our resolve towards democracy and pluralism.
I hope you have a wonderful turnout this weekend. TheWomensConvention.com. Check it out. You can still get tickets and attend this weekend in downtown Milwaukee. Rachel O'Leary Carmona has been our guest. Thank you so much, Rachel. Godspeed and good luck, girlfriend. Take care. Stay with us. One more break before we get out of here. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's 48 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matnair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Dominic Salvia, my Tuesday co-host. Well, Kristen is out on maternity leave. I can't believe it's the last break of the show. 10 minutes before noon. It just flew by. Whoosh.
Time flies when you're having fun,
Jane. I'm telling you. It really does. We were talking about whether or not we should get rid of daylight saving time in the first half hour of this hour. And there's one text I didn't have time to share, and I just think it's hilarious. From the 262 in all caps, we need Kristen to save us from this madness. Jane is proposing, help us, Kristen.
Whoa. Don't go starting fights, caller, texter. My Lord.
Kristen, by the way, is going to be here tomorrow at 10:30. She will be joining us. We're doing a news quiz with her because she's not exactly checked in on the news with the new baby, and I don't blame her. So we'll have a little fun with her tomorrow starting at 10:30. And then
I hope you can pin her down on her opinions on the daylight savings time or not. I'm curious to know now she got the little one. You know, what does she think? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, and then hopefully we'll get another peek of Francis. We haven't seen Francis for a week, so I'm sure she's probably driving by now.
Oh, my God.
They grow up so fast.
I did want to share something really quick. Going back all the way to the beginning of the show, apparently and another radio show has confirmed that Mike Gallagher, Steele, Fitzgerald, Tiffany, Grothman, and Van Orton, or hopefully Van Orton and Grothman, are all yeses for the vote today.
For Jim Jordan. Oh, that's just great.
Yep. Because, you know, thinking independently.
Yeah. That's what Tom Tiffany said. They're independent thinkers. They don't just line up like sheep like the Democrats behind Nancy Pelosi.
And weren't they all, like, with the other guy last time?
Steve Scalise?
Scalise. Yes. Were they all Scalise?
Yeah, I believe so.
What's going to happen when she finally retires, though? Like, and she's no longer in the... Because every time they don't... Hide behind Nancy Pelosi. Okay, Nancy Pelosi's not even the speaker. She's never going to be the speaker again. You need new material, guys.
No, they keep their female boogeymen. They do. They cling to them like nothing else. Good heavens, Hillary Clinton, come on.
You know where those men won't be? The women's convention.
They probably will not be at the women's convention. Mm. Yep.
No, they think what Rachel is doing is radical.
Yes, that whole clean water, breathable air, you kooky kids.
Safety for the kids. I mean, what are we talking about?
Yes, safety for the kids. Sorry.
You've been waiting all morning. You've had that loaded, and you've just been waiting to hit that all morning long.
You know, to paraphrase George Carlin, to hell with the children. You know what I mean? That's what the Republicans kind of say.
Hey, Dominic, I wanted to mention you are on the road. After you're done here, you're going to pick up the one and only, and who we love and adore, Maggie Dawn, to head to Madtown.
Yes, Devil's Advocate's doing a live remote show today, 4 to 6 p.m. at the Jade Monkey in Madison. Maggie's going to come along. She's going to do her show live, 6 to 7 as well. Anyone around, come down, come and hang out. Got a lot of folks coming by. Joe Parisi, the Dane County Executive, he is going to join us at the top of the hour. I believe Judge Chris Taylor, a former state assembly person, Taylor, will be out on site with us as well. And we're going to wrap it up. Dem Party Chair Ben Wickler going to join us 5:30 to 6. If there's a party, you got to have a party chair. And Ben's going to show up at the Jade Monkey with us. So come around. It's going to be a blast. These shows, you know, this goes fast. Those kind of live shows with all the guests and people around, man, those fly by.
I bet. So
hope to see everyone out there.
I just want to let the listening public know that Kristen has just texted Jane and I with her feelings on daylight savings time.
Okay.
And I will say this, you'll have to tune in tomorrow.
That's called a tease. Nicely done.
Oh, I know what the answer is, people, but you don't get to find out till tomorrow.
Debating the hot topic issues of the day. That is what we do here on Ask Us Wisconsin. And we talk about blankets. So
when I was a child, I had two blankets. I came from wealth and prosperity.
Dominic, when you're out on the road like this, because you guys have done a number of these now over the last couple of months, do you ever have any troublemakers show up?
No, you know, you think we would, but we really don't. We have some folks that come by that, you know we're coming to town, come and show up. We have some randoms that'll be like, hey, what's going on here? But no, everyone, and it's kind of funny. Kurt and I joke about that. Maybe we're not doing it right because we don't get enough hate out there. What are we doing? But, you know, it's been a lot of fun. And not just in the last couple of months as we've been doing this. You know, Kurt and I have been doing radio together for going on 12 years. You know, we went all over the country. We once the 2016, we follow Scott Walker, of course, because once he started running for president, then when Kurt drugged me all over and never want to go, James, like, oh, okay, I'll go. Got to see a lot, got to experience a lot. First time in the spin room in Vegas and see how the sausage gets made and see how the other media and how they react and how it's all done. And it's been a hell of an adventure for me. And you know, one of the takeaways that I notice is it's a young person's game. You
is
know,
it?
Young media. Yeah, there's a lot of young people out there doing on the campaigns, on the media. Certainly you have your older folks that are the established media figures, but a lot of the running around, a lot of young folks. It takes a lot of energy to do that. So it was a real eye opener going to the some of these debates and whatnot in back in 2016. And now it seems like old hat now, Jane. You know
what
I mean?
I bet. Yeah, well, yeah. You guys even got arrested.
Unconstitutionally, more than once, but you know, that'll happen.
That happens.
Well, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, Jane, and that's the whole, you know, what I really, really, really despise is the fascism, you know, the authoritarianism. I got arrested in Madison observing other people, you know, protesting and them getting arrested. I didn't participate. Back in the day, it was, you know, singing, which give me a break. Of course, that's stupid.
Right.
But I was just literally hanging out. And then they come over and grab me. You got to leave. And I paused and, well, I'm just hanging out, read the sign, but I'm not doing anything. No, you got to go. And I actually complied. I go, okay. And I turned around to walk away, and the cops said, nope, 95. I mean, they got me. They found me. They saw me. It was 7 minutes from when I slammed my car door on Capitol Square to walked in, saw Crudy, got to the rotunda before I was in cuffs.
Wow. You know,
yeah. So there's a reason why I settled a $75,000 lawsuit with the state of Wisconsin. Thank you, taxpayers. That was under the Walker administration.
They're troublemakers. Go see them live this afternoon at the Jade Monkey in Madison, along with the one and only Maggie Dawn. Donna McSalvia, my Tuesday co-host, thank you so very much for joining
me.
Greg Bach, love you, my friend.
I love you, too.
And thank you to everyone who called and texted and for listening. Without you guys, we're nothing. So join us again tomorrow morning starting at 10 a.m. Stay close for the news coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down. What it does is those sunsets and sunrises.
Yeah.
I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bars as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough. But if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. President Biden has just landed in Tel Aviv, Israel, where he'll meet with the country's leaders. CBS's Weijia Zhang says Mr. Biden will not, however, meet with Arab leaders as planned because of an explosion at a hospital in Gaza.
The now canceled summit in Jordan was where Mr. Biden hoped to make progress on establishing a humanitarian corridor, opening up the southern Gaza border crossing to get trapped civilians, including Americans, out of there and aid in. The president was supposed to meet with Egyptian President al-Sisi at that summit. He really wanted FaceTime to convince him to open up the corridor, but he continues to resist.
Palestinian officials say the blast killed hundreds of people. Hamas is blaming Israel. Israel is blaming Islamic Jihad. Israel Defense Forces spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari says the characteristics of the rocket are not Israeli because of the lack of a crater.
There is no structural damage to the building. The walls stayed intact. There are no craters here.
Hagari says the misfired rocket hit a parking lot.